It is so good to see you, so good to have the opportunity to dig into God's Word together this morning. In just a couple of minutes, we are going to look at Luke chapter 5. And so if you have a Bible in front of you or you have the Bible app on your phone, however you're reading Scripture today, we'd love for you to find Luke chapter 5. If we were doing today some man-on-the-street interviews asking people what they remember about the Bible or what they know about the Bible, I suspect we would get some really interesting responses. Study after study is showing that people in our world today just seem to have a really fuzzy idea of what Scripture actually says, things that Jesus actually said. In fact, if you were to ask people on the street today, what is the forbidden fruit that Adam and Eve ate in the Garden of Eden? What do you think would be the top response? An apple. Some of you said it. You're right. That would be the number one response. But Scripture actually doesn't say it was an apple. It just says it was fruit. If you were going to ask people, how many wise men showed up to visit Jesus? What would be the predominant answer? Three. You're right. But Scripture doesn't actually say there was three. It just simply mentions there were three gifts that were given. Gallup did a poll a while back asking people if they knew what the epistles were in the New Testament. And that's kind of a weird word, and we don't even use it around here a lot. But the epistles are the letters of the New Testament. And most people on the street, confused by that word, thought that the epistles were the apostles' wives. I thought that was an interesting one. Another one that I found quite interesting, in this same poll, they asked people why Jesus' most famous sermon was called the Sermon on the Mount. And the number one answer was that Jesus gave that sermon while mounted on horseback. Yikes. And here was my favorite. People were asked about Noah's wife, and they gave the number one answer as that Joan of Arc had to be the wife of Noah. People are pretty confused about what Scripture actually says. People are pretty confused in our world today about things Jesus said or didn't say. And so we're doing this series called Things Jesus Didn't Say, because here's what we know. We know that if our ideas about Scripture and our ideas about what Jesus said are fuzzy, then it can actually be a roadblock to you and me actually falling in love with Jesus. It can be a roadblock to you and me truly, truly trusting God and trusting His character. And so we've been talking about some of these confusing issues, confusing statements people make that often they are tribute to Scripture. And the one we're going to talk about today, just for a moment, is this phrase that you have probably heard a lot of times, and you maybe have even said it. I have said it. God helps those who help themselves. Now that saying actually goes way back to Aesop's fables. And in this fable, there's a man who's driving a wagon and he gets it stuck in the mud. And so this man gets out of his wagon and he gets down on his knees beside his wagon and he begins to pray to the gods that they would come and help get his wagon unstuck. And in this fable, Hercules, one of the gods, shows up and tells him to get off his knees and put his shoulder to the wheel. And Aesop says the moral of that fable is that the gods help those who help themselves. If you go a few years later, it gets changed a little bit. In the 1736 edition of Benjamin Franklin's Poor Richard's Almanac, he says this phrase, God helps those who help themselves. So it's this ancient little saying, it's an ancient little proverb, but it is actually not from the lips of Jesus. And it is not scriptural. Now, I think we use this phrase a lot. We use it to encourage action in others. Every time I was told this as a kid, it was because somebody was trying to light a fire under me. Somebody was trying to give me a verbal kick in the seat of the pants to get me going. God helps those who help themselves, so you better get busy. It was well-intentioned, well-meant, and I think we use it because we sometimes feel like people maybe aren't doing what they're supposed to do, and they're just sitting back doing nothing, sort of like the guy in the fable who, instead of actually working to get his wagon out, just prays that God will come do it for him. So we try to give people a sort of an encouragement, a verbal kick in the pants. Get busy, do something. We use it to encourage action in others. Sometimes we use that phrase, God helps those who help themselves, as an excuse for our lack of action in helping others. Because we reason, well, they're actually not doing what they're supposed to be doing. And if God only helps those who help themselves, then I sure shouldn't have to worry about helping them. Sometimes we use that phrase as an excuse for our lack of compassion and concern. But I think the phrase actually points to a deeper question. And I think the question goes something like this. What do I do when I actually need help? What do I do? What do I actually do when I need help in this life? And I want to suggest to you, before we even get to Scripture, we're going to get there in just a second, but before we even get to Scripture, I want to suggest to you that this phrase actually short-circuits the answer to that question, because the unintended consequence of this phrase, God helps those who help themselves, actually makes the solution to our problem all about us. It actually makes it about us. I've got to do something in order to get help from anywhere or anybody, even God. So it makes everything about us. Now, it certainly is true that God does not want us to just be passive. God has given each of us a mind and a body and a will, and He wants us to take initiative. He wants us to take responsibility. That's a good thing. Faith in God doesn't mean that we get a free pass from ever doing anything. Faith in God doesn't mean that we get a free pass from studying for tests. We actually still need to study. Faith in God doesn't mean we get a free pass from exercising in order to be healthy or eating healthy. Faith in God doesn't mean that we get a free pass on showing up to work on time or showing up to work with a good attitude. God generally does not do for you or for me what He has enabled us to do for ourselves. He generally does not do for us what He has enabled us to do for ourselves. But here's the issue. The really big problems that we have in life, the really big issues that we have in life, are usually those issues where we cannot help ourselves. We don't know what to do. We don't know where to go. We don't have the energy. We don't have the insight. We don't have the intellect. We don't have the strength. So we are beyond what we can do. And when we say this phrase, God only helps those who help themselves, we are actually putting ourselves in a situation where there's nowhere to go and nowhere to turn. Because we're beginning to act like God is simply our assistant who only helps us if we're already helping ourselves, as opposed to God being the one who is all-powerful, God being the one who is our creator, and God being the one who wants nothing more than to help you and me be all that He created us to be. So what do we do when we actually need help? What do we do when there is nowhere else to go and nowhere else to turn? What do we do when we need help? That's really the question. And I want to point you to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5 gives us a lot of information about Jesus' ministry, but in the middle, verses 12 through 25 of Luke 5, we're told about two miracles Jesus performs. And I think it gives us a really good picture of what we ought to do when we need help. So I want to invite you to look with me at Luke chapter 5, and I'm not going to read this entire section, but I'm going to read parts of it. So let's look together. Luke chapter 5, verse 12. Luke is writing, and he says, "In one of the villages, Jesus met a man with an advanced case of leprosy. And when the man saw Jesus, he bowed down his face to the ground, begging to be healed. 'Lord,' he said, 'if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean.' And Jesus reached out and touched him. 'I am willing,' he said, 'be healed.' And instantly, the leprosy disappeared." The next few verses just talk about some of the aftermath of Jesus healing this man. And then in verse 17, Luke tells us about another miracle that Jesus performed. And this one is a little bit different, but there are some similarities, and we're going to draw some principles from both of these miracles. Verse 17, "One day while Jesus was teaching, some Pharisees and teachers of the religious law were sitting nearby. It seemed that these men showed up from every village in Galilee and Judea, as well as from Jerusalem. And the Lord's healing power was strongly with Jesus. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a sleeping mat. And they tried to take him inside to Jesus, but they couldn't reach him because of the crowd. So they went up on the roof, took off some tiles, and they lowered the sick man on his mat right down into the crowd in front of Jesus. And seeing their faith, Jesus said to the man, 'Young man, your sins are forgiven.' But the Pharisees and the teachers of religious law, they said to themselves, 'Who does he think he is? That's blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins.' And Jesus knew what they were thinking. And so he asked them, 'Why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or stand up and walk? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man," Jesus talking about himself there, "has the authority on earth to forgive sins.' So Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and he said, 'Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home.' And immediately, as everyone watched, the man jumped up, picked up his mat, and went home praising God. Everyone was gripped with wonder and awe, and they praised God, exclaiming, 'We've seen amazing things today.'" Luke here tells us about two men who desperately needed help. They were in a situation where they could not help themselves. They desperately needed help. And I think we find some insight in these two pictures of men who needed help, of what we can do in our lives if we desperately need help. In light of Scripture, what do we do? Well, I want to just frame it in some questions. Questions that I think might be helpful to us as we walk this journey of life. When I need help, I should ask, what can I do? What can I do? It's an appropriate question to ask, what can I do? There's no reason why we shouldn't ask it, because we've already said faith doesn't give us a free pass from having to put forth any effort. But we also know that there is a point where we can't do anything else. God is not a genie in a bottle who just grants all of our wishes. If you want to lose 10 pounds, you'll probably have to exercise and eat better. We'll have to be some effort put in. But we should do what we can. We should do what we can. But when we realize that self-help is not enough, what do? When we realize that self-help is not going to get us through this situation or this circumstance, when we realize that we don't need self-help, but we need God's help, what do? Well, I love the example of this man who had leprosy in verse 12 of Luke 5. I love the simple example of this man. He says, "When the man saw Jesus, he bowed his face to the ground, begging to be healed. And he said, 'Lord, if you're willing, you can do this.'" This man, you know what he could do? He could ask. That's what he could do. Everything else had already been done. In this moment, all he could do was
ask. That's all he could do. And as he asked, when he came to the realization that he couldn't do anything else for himself other than to cry out to Jesus for help and to ask for help, I mean, it positioned him in a spot where Jesus was able to do the work. Now, it's a humbling moment to come to that point. It's a humbling moment to throw pride aside and to actually ask. This man actually bowed his face to the ground as an act of worship, and it says he begged the Lord. It was probably more than just one, "Lord, help me." He was begging, "Lord, I need your help." And some of the time, the answer to this question, "What can I do?" is not go here or do this or do that or figure this out. It's just to ask, "God, I need your help." Humble ourselves enough to ask. I think an appropriate question is, "Where do I need help?" Not only what can I do, but we transition to, "Where do I actually need help?" This guy says, "Lord, you can heal me. This is very specific. Lord, you can heal me and make me clean." So maybe the most important thing for us to do today, if we find ourselves in a situation where we need help in any area of our life, is, "What can I do?" And if I've already done that, good. "What can I do?" might be just to ask God and acknowledging exactly where we need help. Now, I know that we in our society have this resistance to asking for help, at least most people do. Asking for help, like, offends our pride. Asking for our help sometimes makes us feel incompetent. We ought to be able to figure this out on our own. But there's a great danger when you and I are unwilling to humble ourselves enough to ask for help. Because if we're unwilling to ask for help, what could be a minor problem can quickly mushroom into a crisis. If we refuse to ask for help, what started out as going over budget ends up with us deeply in debt and in shame. What started out as a pattern of unresolved conflict can end up in a divorce. When we refuse to ask for help, what started out as a bad habit can become an addiction. What starts as a problem with flirtatious can turn into a full-blown affair. A problem with procrastination can turn into unemployment. A problem with sarcasm and always having a biting, cutting edge to our words can turn into a life where nobody wants to be around us. I mean, the truth is that every single one of us need help at various points in our life. And we have to be willing to say, "Where do I need the help?" And I'm crying out to God just like this leper did. "God, I need you. You are the one that can actually help me." The simple ask is sometimes the most important step that you and I can take towards receiving the help that we need. Just the simple ask. Now, I think it's interesting that in the second miracle that Luke describes for us, he doesn't describe an ask. It's very interesting. The second miracle that we read together is a man who is equally desperate as the man with leprosy. This man, in the second miracle, has been paralyzed. He's in desperate need. There's nothing he can do for himself. There is nothing he can do for himself. And instead of him making an ask, his friends take action. And his friends pick up the mat. Verse 18, it says, "Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a sleeping mat. And they tried to take him inside to Jesus, and when they couldn't get through because the place was so crowded, they went up on the roof, took off some tiles, and let the guy down right in the middle of the room." If in heaven we can replay events from Scripture, I hope I can replay that event on the DVD player and see that, because that would have been really cool. Before we talk about help ourselves, I think it's appropriate to look at these guys and just say, in light of this statement that we hear so often, God helps those who help themselves, according to Scripture, there are times when we ought to be asking the question, how can I help others? How can I actually help other people? There's no indication that this man would have made it to Jesus without the help of his friends. And his friends didn't say to him, well, you know, God will help you if you can help yourself. His friends saw a need. They didn't try to excuse themselves out of helping. They just each picked up a corner of the mat and carried him to Jesus. I think God is honored every time you and I are willing to sacrifice enough to pick up somebody's mat. And we may not be able to do it all. We may be able to carry one corner, one spot, one part. But we simply do what God has given us the ability to do. And because we do what God's given us the ability to do, that person is actually able to experience the help that they need. These friends, filled with compassion, it moved them to action. And their friend actually got help. As you think about life today, I think it's appropriate for us to ask the question, how can I actually help others? And as we wrestle with that question, I want us to continue thinking about the questions pertaining to ourselves as well, which is, how can I actually receive help? How can I receive help? If you acknowledge that you have a need, and you acknowledge where the need is, how can I receive help? And it might be, how can I receive help from others? How can I receive help from others? And you have to be willing to let somebody pick up a corner of the mat and help you. We have to swallow our pride enough to be able to admit that we need help. When kids are little, we all know that they come a point where they begin to be a little more independent, maybe than we even want them to be as parents. And they say things like, if you try to help them, no, I do it. Have you ever heard that? I do it, or whatever it is. Don't slap your hand away. And we carry that right into adult life. And I'm not suggesting that we all be people who are all the time going around saying, I need help. I'm not saying that we behave like that. I'm saying that we are willing, when we've done what we can do, to admit that we actually need the help of people around us and to be willing to let somebody come alongside of us and pick up a corner of the mat. And often, they will not know there's a need if you and I aren't honest enough to tell them. We have to be willing to ask. How can I receive help from others? We have to let somebody pick up a corner of the mat. We have to ask. And how do we receive help from God? How do we actually receive help from God? These men tell us how. I mean, what we're called to in the Bible is to be willing to just admit that we need God. To open our hearts to Him, to live a life that's willing to call out to Him and cry out to Him. And it can just be a simple prayer of help. I mean, there are times when you and I have been in situations in our lives where, guess what? We don't have any other words because things are so desperate and things are so difficult. About all we have is the word help. And man, I am glad that God hears that kind of prayer. Because I want you to leave today remembering verse 13. I want you to leave remembering verse 13. This guy says, God, if you are willing, Lord, if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean. And Jesus reaches out and touches him and he says, I am willing. I am willing. I want you to know that we can live with the knowledge that Jesus is willing to help. There's no maybe there. He is willing to help. And who does God help? It's not those who help themselves. It's those who are willing to admit that they need help. It's those who are willing to call out to Him. It's people who are needy and people who are weak and people who are scared and people who are in way over their heads and people who can't help themselves. And people who may have 15 areas of life that are working great, but the 16th area is not. And they're willing to admit that right in that spot, they need God's help. God loves to help us so much that sometimes He shows up and helps us in ways that we don't even know we need it. This guy who was carried to Jesus on the mat, he thought he was being carried to Jesus because he was paralyzed. And that was part of the issue. But Jesus said, I know you've got a need that's even greater than your paralysis. It's the need of sin in your life, and so I'm just going to take care of that as well. I'll forgive your sin and I'll heal your body. I'll heal your soul and I'll heal your legs. I will allow you to be the whole person that I created you to be. Jesus is willing. He is willing to meet us and heal us where we know we need it. And He's willing to work in our lives in ways that we don't even know that we need if we are willing just to humble ourselves before Him. So when you need help, what can I do? Where do I need it? Is there a way I can help others? And am I humble enough to just open my heart to receive help from others and from God? And when Satan comes to you and says, don't bother God with that, it's too insignificant. Or when Satan comes to you and says, well, that's too big for God. Or when Satan comes to you and says, God doesn't care about that. God only cares about these other things. When Satan comes to you and messes with you and tries to convince you that what you are dealing with in your life is not worthy of God's time or attention, or that God doesn't care enough to be concerned about it, would you live with the understanding and with the knowledge that Jesus says every single time we cry out for help, I am willing. I'm willing. Let's stand together. Jesus, we are so grateful today that You are always willing to help. And as we think about our lives today, we know that for some folks who will hear this message in this room or over in St. John's or online, we know that many of the folks in this who are going to hear it are living wonderful, awesome, amazing lives. But it doesn't matter how successful we are or how well things are going, all of us need help. There will come a time when we need help. And so would You remind us that You are willing to help, and would You help us be humble enough just to admit our need, to ask. When there's other people who You want to use to help us, would You help us be humble enough to let somebody pick up a corner of the mat? Would You help us be sensitive to where we can help others? Jesus, we need Your Spirit to make us sensitive, because there's so much stuff going on in our world today that we almost get a calloused conscience, and we can just blow right by people and blow right by situations and never even observe or see the need. Holy Spirit, would You help us be sensitive? Fill us with compassion that moves us just from thinking about it to actually taking action, and help us be willing to pick up somebody's mat. And would You help us call out to You and experience Your help, because we know that You are willing. Every moment, every day, You are willing to help us just where we need it. We pray and ask this in Jesus' name.